This is the training wheel semi-suite. But that's only because
I wasn't recording.
Yeah, I figured. Okay.
Ah, son of a bitch.
But I am
I figured that out right around the 9th or 10th.
God damn it, Salsa, you have one fucking job.
And welcome, and buckle up
you
for the
sex. You have
two
fucking jobs.
It's the Afro Nothing Podcast.
Three jobs with your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna. Oh, God, you guys, listeners, I'm so sorry that Salsa didn't hit record, because we...
It was magic.
Came up with a solution for world hunger.
Mm-hmm.
We cured cancer.
It was frogs the whole time on both counts. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Yeah. And sideways boats.
We also figured out how to get an attachment program into a dishwasher, so it'll also file your taxes for you. Like, it was a amazing. Really good conversation, you guys.
Yeah.
It was really good.
And we have no way to retrieve it. So I don't think it's. Yeah. And we can't act on any of these things because we were too drunk to remember.
Right. Well, to be fair, it could be 5 minutes later sober and I wouldn't remember. But yeah. Speaking of drunk, hey, Salsa, what are you drinking?
What are you still drinking?
Well.
What did you start drinking 5 minutes ago and are now currently still drinking?
As I've already mentioned to two people, I'm drinking Guinness.
Yay, Guinness.
I, for one, am shocked. Was it out of a can or out of a bottle?
Why, it was out of a can into a glass.
Oh.
Which is the correct way to drink it.
Rocket widget.
Which is the correct way to
drink
it.
Of course.
Unless you're drinking
it. I assume that you're getting it out of a tap in St. James.
In St. James,
Ireland.
In Ireland.
Yeah.
Which I've done.
Which must be nice for you.
This sounds like my 7-year-old recounting a story. Like, all the details are there.
Oh,
it just doesn't make a lot of sense if you weren't there.
Holy
All right.
Guys. That was glorious and beautiful. So now that our listeners are caught up.
Sure.
You know exactly as much as we do now.
Yep.
Maybe even more. Probably more.
Probably more.
So I picked up an 8-pack of Sociable Cider Works from the local boozatorium, and that was a few days ago. So I've discovered a new favorite Sociable Cider Works, and possibly pretty close to favorite cider. And that's the cranberry apple hard cider, which is fucking mind blowing.
That sounds amazing. Did they, a question, did they fuck it up and put hops in it? Because they do that sometimes and it pisses me off.
I don't think so, but you would definitely be the better person to check. Since I am out of that one, however, I am trying for the first time Training Wheels semi-sweet.
Okay.
Yeah. I plowed through those two. I was like, I gotta save this for the pod, and nope. Nope.
That just didn't happen. So how is what are you doing? You're drinking. Is it good?
Training Wheels semi-sweet. It's quite tasty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool.
This one does have hops.
Okay. I was about to say they put no hops in their cider, which basically just breaks cider.
Invalidates it for you.
Right. It's not. It's no longer cider. It's now juicy beer. I don't like it. I'm cranky about it. Don't call it cider if you're going to toss hops.
Don't.
There's only one company. There's only one company that can get away with that.
What?
Bumbling Fools.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
Don't call it cider. I've been here for years.
Or mead. Or whatever. Hops goes in beer. Hops does not go in other alcohols. That's what protects me from the hops. Stop fucking with my booze. Yeah. Hey, guess what I'm drinking?
Not hops.
No.
Red wine.
No.
White wine.
No.
Say.
Dr. Tiki?
Kind of. I am drinking a Dr. Pepper related cocktail. It is
Dr. Fix-It?
Nope. It's got more of a story. So Dr. Pepper related cocktail, I guess, is the right answer. however, so I saw these at the grocery store, and decided I needed to pick them up to try them. It is Dr. Pepper and cream soda.
That's like the best
what
two
the
things ever.
Fuck.
It's amazing.
That is amazing.
And I love it.
Yeah.
So that's just the soda too. I haven't even added booze to this.
No, we're already in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then I bought this and I was like, well, fuck, now I have to restock my liquor cabinet, which I haven't done in a few months. The wine rack, yes. The liquor cabinet, mm-hmm. no. So I restocked the liquor cabinet with a bunch of my favorites, and I looked at it and I was like, what am I going to mix with Dr. Pepper and cream soda? And the answer is creme de cacao.
Okay.
And maraschino liqueur.
Whoa, dang.
So I'm now going to try this and we will find out. I went a little heavy on the booze just because I've had a fucking week, but you know, whatever. Yes, this is quite pleasing. Oh yeah. 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 Recommend. It all just blends together perfectly because that's what Dr. Pepper does.
Yeah.
Even with cream soda, Dr. Pepper and cream soda still mixes, I assume universally, but also very, very well. The cherry pops up, the chocolate is there but hidden. And I've still got that Dr. Peppery, but also cream soda, pull together kind of thing.
Is what is the chocolate cake with cherries? Is that a Black Forest cake?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So would this be a Dr. Black Forest? Or a Black Forest Doctor?
Choco Tiki?
No, there's no cherry in that name.
Hmm.
We'll workshop that one.
Yeah.
It could be a Dr. Tiki, or but when you pronounce doctor, you pronounce it in the German way.
Which is, which I think is doctor.
Still doctor. Yeah.
No. No. You're adorable. No.
Is he, though?
I mean, those two little braids on either side of his head right now, and the way that he's just kind of flipping them, it's pretty cute. I never knew James could look like a 7-year-old girl with a beard, but here we are.
Oh, millions of people could have told you that.
Wow,
I'm sure.
Well.
Yeah, but only if you're in a bathroom. Such is life.
All right. Anyway.
What?
Don't.
Okay.
Just
no,
don't.
No, I'm...
Hey, Salsa.
Yeah,
been up to?
Booze.
Yay!
It's a surprise. I know, right?
All right. Jenna, what have you been up to?
I made some more orange cello. I made a full batch of orange cello, which means I have a lot of homemade. I was talking to my wife today. I do that sometimes. And...
Seems advisable.
I was like, so I kind of stopped brewing beer because I just couldn't go through it fast enough. Like,
sure.
I could not drink faster than I was making.
Hmm.
And so I went into mead and cider because mead and cider take a long time to make. So between batches, you've got plenty of time to drink it.
Yeah.
But I have a wine rack in our furnace room that is already full of mead and cider wine bottles. And so I'm like, well, I guess I'll start making spirits.
Sure.
And so now, so I'm looking over at the bar right now, and there are 4.5 bottles of Applejack, and there's a bottle of Limoncello, and a bottle of Makrut Limoncello, and 5 bottles of Orangeello, and I'm going, I can't keep up anymore.
If only you knew any.
Hey, are you saying that we need to start podcasting together again?
We do need to
possible?
Start podcasting or? Together. That is true. But also just, I'm like, and like, the thought did cross my mind ever so briefly to just stop making mm-hmm. things for a little while, and that no. was quickly discarded. But I was just like, I don't know where to go from here to, because I just keep running out of space and running out of bottles.
I mean, if you need to get rid of a bottle of that Applejack.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, if only you knew friends who would, or fellow podcasters, which I guess are not well, mutually exclusive,
problem,
but are
like,
in this case.
The thing with the cider and the mead is I've got so much of that that I'm more than happy to just give away bottles of that to friends.
Yeah.
With the Applejack and the Limoncello and the Orangeello, like, there's a limited supply of that, and I'm the kind of person who always ends the game with 999 potions because I never use them because I might need them later. And so I look at these 4 bottles of Applejack and I go, but I don't – if I use it, then I might run out. and then what'll I do?
And, you know, I'm gonna die. What should I do? Use your potion? No, but I might need it now.
Exactly. Right. But I'm looking at this booze and I'm like, I can't. But then I'll have less.
Well, and I remember, like, I restocked the AON Labs bar, and then 2 weeks later, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And so, like, I remember being like, "Ah, oh, son of a."
Well,
bitch.
we had a visit from Cedia Scotchbringer. Right before.
Yeah, we had a visit from Cedia Scotchbringer a couple weeks before I reset the bar, I think.
Yep, and then you brought over some rum and some vodka. Kahlua.
And vodka, and I think it was probably about 7 or 8 different bottles of liqueurs that I just wanted to have.
Yeah, exactly. Which are all still sitting there.
Well, good.
Yeah, the Cointreau. You got the Cointreau came. Mm-hmm. So
we restocked the bar. COVID hit. You've had nobody over to drink your booze. You've been making booze. You're boozed up.
I am absolutely stocked right now, and I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
All right. Well, if after all of this we have a zombie apocalypse, I'm coming over to your place.
Zombies might get us, but we'll be too drunk to care.
I won't care.
Yeah.
The other thing I did is I got the house to myself.
Whoa.
Because my wife has started going to in-person teaching, and my kids are doing in-person schooling now, and that means in the morning they go away, and the house is all mine.
Like, there's a part of that that's got to be slightly nerve-wracking because of all of the stuff going on out there, but there's another part of that.
The huge majority that's just like, this. It's my house.
The introvert that's been forced to live with his family, like, 24/7.
That never leave. They've left.
All of the noise and the everything and the, No, I get that. Like, if I was forced to be in a social environment, like, there's a part of me that would be like, oh, God, the COVID. Blah. But there would be another part of me that would be like, oh, thank God, people.
Yeah,
oh,
no, definitely.
Fuck.
There is. It was just like the whole day until I had to go get the kids from school. It was just like, it's quiet. I get to make choices. Like, I get to have lunch when I want to have lunch.
You can lunch when you want to. You can leave your kids at school.
I can't, actually. That
oh, they had, oh
there, there's, well, like, laws about that sort of thing and stuff.
Legally, he has to pick them up.
I guess.
So, but that's what I did.
Nice. Hi.
I just walked around the lake earlier today.
Beautiful. It was a gorgeous day.
No,
it was a lovely day.
It really
was. It
was
so nice. Salsa didn't like it. Salsa was trying to remove every layer he has. Meanwhile,
I'm wearing
my
shorts
walk
right
the
now.
Lake, my walk around the lake in 70 degree weather, I still had my coat on for the majority of it.
This is about as warm as I like it to be.
I will take another 5 degrees. Salsa will not. I will take his 5 degrees.
I mean, subtract another five, yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, we went across the street and took the kids kite flying this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I was in shorts, and I was already just like, it's fucking hot. What the hell?
Nope. Well, when I went to walk around the lakes, I think there's a slight difference in that.
You do have the lake effect, yeah.
I've got the lake effect. There's nothing stopping the breeze. Mm-hmm. And that breeze was tumultuous by the time I was walking
there
around
is
the
that.
Lake.
Yeah.
I believe it, yeah.
That breeze was seriously trying to knock me over. So, yeah, like, I was wearing a windbreaker, and it was not actually breaking all that much wind, but it did have a purpose.
Sure.
So, yeah. Like, so next time, I'll go fly kites with your kids, and you can take a walk around the lake.
I would rather just go back to my basement.
Oh, there's that.
Also, it's a good thing you do have kids. You'd never leave the house.
Yeah. Mostly my wife. What about
you? So yeah, I took a walk around the lake, and then I had another story. Fuck, what was it? Shit. Sheet, fuck, sheet.
Should we start on James?
Sheet, fuck.
Yeah, let's start with James.
All right.
And I'm going to see if I can remember what the fuck my story was.
All right. James, you start, and if you're suddenly very abruptly interrupted, uh-oh, I think he's time traveling.
Oh, no!
Jenna, you have... throw a pie, quick!
Oh, God.
You got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I actually, this wasn't the story I was going to tell, but, I did decide that, I want to, I'm not going to do Convergence this year because that just seems like a bad idea.
That's
to me.
Fair. Yeah.
People are going to be in various states of whatever. And I'm just like, no, not going to do that. I will probably do Convergence the year after that because they'll be, I believe, back to the 4th of July weekend schedule, which works well for me. And will work well for Jessa, too. I've decided that the next time I go to Convergence, I am going to want to do all of the cosplays. I've got a backlog of cosplay just kind of building up.
Like, sequentially or at the same time?
Sequentially.
Okay.
But I've got so many cosplays that I want to do.
I want to see the crossover.
Okay.
Like, 7 layers of crossover.
Yeah. Like a 7-layer dip. But, Jenna.
I did think of a really cool... what do you call it when you mix two different fandoms together?
Either a mashup or a crossover.
Yeah, I'm going with mashup. I thought that an awesome mashup would be Hades and Persephone from Lore Olympus, and Sally and Jack from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's really cute.
That would be adorable and accurate. That would be probably a pink lady character with long pink hair and like the raggedy dress thing and a few stitches. And then, like, I don't know, both Hades and Jack wear suits. So that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing blue, definitely the blue hair, but maybe skeleton. I don't know. Anyway, that's in my head is a thing that should happen.
So
if Hades and Persephone were cosplaying as Sally and Jack.
No, because I think, no, I want a mashup. Okay. So like, I think, yeah,
so you would do like half and half, like half your body would be Sally and half would be Jack. Like, what do you?
Nope. No, you just mix in different elements, it's not Sally and Jack being played by a person. It's Sally and Persephone from Lore Olympus, two female characters, the inamoratas of each of their different.
Okay.
Kelsey, do you know about Lore Olympus?
No, I was just you were saying Sally and Jack, and I was like, so you're doing. How are you doing Sally and Jack?
I said Lore Olympus, Hades and Persephone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mashed up with Sally and Jack from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Which
right,
could
yeah.
be interpreted as each of the two people is...
So you're doing
one person is Sally
people.
And Jack and the other person is...
Two people.
Oh, two people.
Two people.
Okay.
One of them.
I missed the two people part. I just thought you were doing this.
Salsa, two emails. The first one contains the question.
No, I missed the part. I thought she was doing the mashup.
It was the monster mash.
I missed that you were going with someone else.
No. This was a concept I had for a mashup. Yeah. I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Made this at all. I'm not, I don't have plans to do it. It's the beginning stages of things that I would like to see happening at some point. Yeah. But yes, this would take two people, to clarify. So yeah, like just mashing up each of those, the two, death kings, I guess.
Sure.
Right. And the two flower girls.
But Jack is the pumpkin king.
Essentially. Huh?
But Jack is the pumpkin king.
Just, yeah, but he's also a skeleton.
He says so in a song, James. Don't shake your head at me.
The thing is that you do make a valid point. It's just a useless one.
Everybody's got to be good at something.
I actually need to start using that one more. No. Your point is entirely valid, but it's also useless in this situation. Yeah.
Jenna, have you listened to this podcast?
No. Nobody listens to this
no.
podcast.
Oh, that's right. No, yes. All right. Yeah. I fucking forgot. That's on me.
So, yeah, but one of the cosplays that I want to do is Hecate? I think it's Hecate.
Hecate.
Yeah. From Lore Olympus. Which is just like, because I already have the blue skin suit from doing Lapis Lazuli. And then I just need a business suit and a black bob wig. And that's it. That's it. That's all I'd need to do for that. But I really want to do it. So. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, that was me stalling for time until James got back, and James is back now. So
I am.
James, what have you been up to?
Many things. I have been playing video games. I've been making a concerted effort to play more video games.
Really?
But I have also been on a kind of a fucking self-improvement kick.
Oh.
Yeah, I may not have mentioned this.
Are you selfing?
I attended a like sleep and wellness class thing as part of work, and they gave me some really good advice. And one of those things is get up at the same time every day, functionally no matter what, and don't snooze. been getting into a real bad habit of hitting the snooze button. And so for the last 2 weeks, I've been getting up at the same time each day. And I'm actually going to start pushing it maybe even a little earlier. But what I've been finding is that I'm starting to create a morning routine that is something other than throw my body at the bathroom and then scramble to work 5 minutes late. I've been on time for work, but it feels the way that it used to feel when I would roll in, you know, 5 minutes late after driving like a complete fucking maniac. I don't love that. I don't want to do that anymore. So now I give myself plenty of time. I have time to get up and make coffee for the two of us, maybe make a quick breakfast for us. I've been listening to an audiobook. I just completed Ready Player 2, the audiobook of that, and I have thoughts. And then I also have time to just, like, I don't know, have a nice shower and be ready for the day in a way that I haven't been taking care of myself. So it feels real fucking good, friends. And one of the things that I've been doing as a result in that time is studying languages. And so I am currently brushing up on Russian. I am learning more French because I was at a particular level, sub-conversational. Je suis table. Mm-hmm. I am a table, I guess. I don't know. Je m'appelle but I've been brushing up on Russian. I have been picking up more French, and as the previous 5 minutes will absolutely not bear out.
Right now, Chip is rolling in his house.
Yes.
Also, Sean Pitre.
I believe in French it's grave.
Yes. Sean Pitre is not happy with this.
And then I've only ever known like weeaboo Japanese, where like you know what you have heard most often in anime and hentai. So your vocabulary is extremely limited and pretty pornographic.
And sometimes inappropriate, yes.
Most of the time. So I got tired of being that guy. So
of not being able to say anything other than dick.
Of not being able to say anything other than but stepladder.
Mate. Yeah.
So yeah, I've been doing this thing, and then I decided to pick up.
Oh, okay.
Joto means wait.
No, mate it means wait up, doesn't it?
Matane is later.
No, mate.
No, that's a kind of green tea. So the.
No, you're thinking of.
God, yes. Yay! I decided to pick up Korean from scratch and start learning Korean. So I'm doing those four, and then I found a good app to teach me sign language. So I've decided that some part of my morning is going to be spent learning five languages, and it feels real good.
Nice.
So there's that. But then other people are talking to me about languages that they're learning or languages that they know, and I'm like, I need to add another one. This is getting really, very dangerous extremely quickly. I think I should stick with five.
Juggling the amount that you are, I'm like, you're going to start conjugating incorrectly in various languages. And
I mean, ask people I've dated, and they'll tell you I conjugate incorrectly in one language. So there's that.
But
barely
well, if you ever want to work on, like, try to converse with each other in either French or sign language, I am totally down for stumbling through those.
I choose French sign language, where you only need to know the word for more wine and the gesture for cigarette. And perhaps like baguette.
Baguette.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the big three for French sign language, I assume.
Or American sign language was based off of French. It was started in, oh God, I don't remember the history of it, and I'm going to fuck it up. But I do know that the syntax and the way sign language is built as a language is based off of French structure. So
that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I have definitely noticed similarities between the languages, but so far, the thing that I've noticed most is my propensity for remembering the sounds of unfamiliar symbols by equating them to larger pictures. Or like the Japanese symbol for the sound ne, like N-E, ne, looks like a neck with one short hair and one long curly hair coming off of it. It's a vertical line with two lines coming off of it, and one of them is like grandiose and curly. So that's how I remember that it's the symbol for ne, because it looks like a neck hair.
I both
follow me for other hints. Yeah,
I both enjoy how your brain processes and works on these things, but also I know that I could never use these processes myself.
Yeah.
I would be like, okay, so there's one of these characters is like a hair. These all look like hairs. They're all lines. They all look like hairs. I'm very confused. What's going on? What am I reading? It wouldn't work for me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it works for you, but it's so deliciously descriptive and what am I looking for? Just focused in this one particular spot that I'm just like, I would never.
Yeah.
It's lovely, but confusing to me.
But I've also been very carefully logging the meals that I eat and keeping up with physical therapy at least 3 times a week. Which has been super difficult, but it kind of feels like if you're able to get yourself out of bed at the same time every day, you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's helping. So there's that.
Yay. Anything else?
There's a Ville show I want to talk about, but that story might take a hot second. So I'd rather give other folks a turn.
We've
gone.
Well, then let's have a break.
Okay, but before we do, I just want to say I looked it up, and it says the more formal form of the phrase is choto mate kudasai, shortened to mate for wait.
Okay.
So maybe you need to brush up on your Japanese a little bit more, James.
That's exactly what I'm doing, Salsa. I believe I just.
We're gonna take a break.
God, Salsa, don't you listen?
Who are you people?
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. imagine being, now that the Ever Given is unstuck, imagine being the next cargo ship captain to pilot down that narrow Suez Canal and having all of that opportunity for what can only be described as the funniest shit to ever happen.
Oops.
That you could get another ship fucking stuck there, and then someone was like, yeah, well, do you get it stuck in the same side, or do you go for the other one?
I will give right. you
and then
five
the response to that was
$5 to get stuck right there.
Well, and the and then someone was like, and then just imagine being the person that follows that guy and knowing with a certainty that you have no choice because comedy has a rule of threes. It's just fucking amazing.
Be like, first mate, prepare for impact. What, sir? Yep. We haven't even started moving yet. Just fucking
do it.
It's just, look, I don't like this any more than you do, but we're doing this.
Yeah, we have a responsibility.
The world is watching us.
Yeah. All right. No, it was like, imagine being that third captain and knowing that you you have a responsibility to put a complete deadlock on 10% of the world's economy because comedy has a rule of threes. It's just fucking amazing.
I'm really glad we were recording all of that. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Shit. Are you kidding? That was amazing. There's no way I was going to let that go.
No, that's fair. I love these memes so fucking much. I've seen, like, even pornographic ones. It's so good. It's just...
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Pornographic Ever Given memes. Yeah. It's fucking fantastic. That and the Kmart that... Someone was like, this is the most Twin Cities meme you will ever see. Yeah. And someone just put the Kmart sign on the fucking Ever Given. And I love it so much.
I think it's my favorite because there's so much that are the big picture of the ship and then just the little crane, the little excavator guy. And so there's a few of them that have gone around where the boat is one thing and the crane is one. One of them is like... The crane is like me, and then the boat is labeled dealing with 2020 and quarantine or something.
Right. My seasonal depression, and then the bulldozer is buying dice so I can get on with my regular depression.
my favorite was the big picture, the boat was him. And the little excavator was me trying to change him.
Oh, fuck.
Very sad, but it's just that little excavator doing its best to get that guy out, man.
Shit. I was like,
oh, that one hurt. That one hurt just a little bit, but it's real good. It's real applicable. So,
That's brutal.
So now that we've talked about that, what are we going to talk about?
I do want to talk about the Vill show that happened on Friday.
We'll do so.
For a few reasons. One, it felt like a real fucking great show. Probably because it mostly starred other people and I was just there to support.
For the first time in history, Villification Tennis.
God, we've been at it for 30 fucking years and finally got around to it.
Had to happen sometime. Yeah. So, the best part about this was that one of the scheduled mid games was that we were going to try to duplicate sounds that Tim was making with random household objects. He had a Pringles can full of nuts and bolts. He had his drum. He had a beverage that he was popping open, a bunch of other stuff.
Back up. So yeah. Tim would make a sound.
Tim would use one of these things to make a sound, and then it would be up to the performers to try our best to duplicate that sound using only our mouths.
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe like a hand.
The drum
or something,
would be a boom, ba da boom, boom, ba da boom, boom, ba da boom, boom.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Just
so,
like that.
You know, all in all, it could be an entertaining structure.
This sounds like a lesson in Foley.
Pretty much, but
it
the
however.
Yeah. So, what happened is that anytime Tim would make a non-speaking noise, Zoom would cancel it out. So. He's
this
there.
Is like my first time hearing the story, and it does not get old.
Meaningfully shaking a can, a Pringles can, and we're just like, Tim, we have no fucking clue what just happened. You gotta, it's not. We didn't hear. And he's like, really, you didn't hear? It's so loud. And no, we didn't hear a goddamn thing. No, you gotta try again. So finally, he's getting frustrated, and he picks up the Boren, and he's like, well, you sure as shit are going to hear this. And he just goes to town on it, like, super loud. Silence. Absolute silence. And we are dead. And, like, we just had to hope that the audience was getting as much joy out of it as we were, because holy fuck, we were crying. We were laughing so hard. And, like... Chris Vanderkamp, one of the vilifiers, was like, oh shit, I'm so glad I didn't do my ab workout today. Like, we were just exhausted, gasping for breath and everything like that. So that's part one of this story. Part two of this story is that absolutely every game after that included a reference to Tim making sounds.
Of course.
And completely fucking it up and not having done any of the pre-work to make sure, not testing it, anything. It was glorious. All right. So he, bless him, just weathers that storm because it's deserved. But he just rides that one out till the end of the show. We're doing the after show thing. And finally, like, as we're doing the after show notes and review and that kind of stuff, Tim's like, oh, there's a slider here for background noise canceling. And then he grabs the Pringles can and he shakes it. And he's like, can you hear it now? And it's loud as fuck.
Oh, my fucking Lord.
And we are destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. So fuck, it was so good. Yeah, if you watch that video, and I do recommend that you go back and you watch that, you get to watch every vilifier but Tim just have a fucking meltdown. We broke so hard. There was no way that we were keeping that together. Oh, shit.
That's beautiful.
It was fucking amazing. Yeah. Oh. Wow. Filled me with joy. And the best part was he kept going back. He kept trying. It wasn't just like, oh, that's not working? All right. Mm-hmm. It was...
I'm trying to think of a time that something went catastrophically wrong on one of my shows.
Fuck.
And I can't think of anything that...
I heard you threw up with arrows in your mouth.
I didn't,
but is like, that catastrophic?
I didn't, like... I threw up in my mouth.
Okay.
But I didn't, like, externally... fountain.
Okay. It wasn't projectile. All right.
No. But it was definitely coming up. No, So here's a story.
of lovely lady.
This is from many years back.
Okay.
Many, many years back when I was still with Fondazzi. It was our first or second year on the Sherwood stage.
Oh, no.
And back then, we had our fuel source on the stage, our fire source. We called it the bomb, and it was this round metal ball, about 6 or 7 inches in diameter. That with a torch, it was a round tiki torch basically, and that was our flame, And so I would come out there with my staff. Because I was doing staff at this point, and I would light off of that, and I would do my staff show. And we this is before they redid the stage, so it was a shorter stage, and the stairs were right in front of me. And I'm near the end of my routine, and I drop the staff.
Okay.
And the staff fumbles out of my hands, and it rolls forward on the stage, and it hits this ball, which knocks it off of its base, and it's round, and so rolls. And it rolls down the stairs.
Fuck.
Oh my god.
And it spills fuel all over the place as it's rolling down these stairs. So now we've got the stairs erupt in flame. These stairs had 30 years worth of dead leaves underneath them.
Oh, fuck.
So there's dead leaves underneath these stairs just go up in flames. I have...
Right.
I'm standing on a stage that is 3 feet above ground level, and these flames are above my head.
Yeah.
Like, they're just...
Yeah.
The whole fucking thing is on fire. I grab my staff, and I keep going. Because what else am I going to do? Because what else am I going to do? I keep going. I keep doing my routine, because I can see that, offstage, Christo is grabbing the fire extinguisher.
Okay.
Christo is grabbing the fire extinguisher. I finish my routine. Routine done. Nail my finale. Strike my final pose. Hit that pose. And Christo hits the fire extinguisher. So... I've got a wall of flame in front of me, final dramatic pose, suddenly wall of white cloud from this fire extinguisher puts out the fire and obscures me.
The most John Woo finale.
It was amazing.
Right.
And then while I'm obscured behind white, you know, CO2 smoke, I fucking get the fuck off the stage, because fuck that shit. And so, yeah, it was a moment where everything went horribly wrong suddenly and turned out to be amazing. I wish.
Meanwhile,
there was video
an audience member with a top hat full of doves.
I wish there was video of that show, because it was so great.
That does sound good.
We stopped.
How is that not when we mentioned catastrophic things happening? Yeah. When we mention catastrophic stuff happening during a show, how is that not your fucking go-to? How did you have a moment where you were like, well, nothing catastrophic has ever happened during one of my shows?
Because I forgot about it, because it was so long ago.
I guess.
I've been at this for a long
time ago, and it was fire. Whatever.
I guess, yeah. Fuck.
See, James, when you've been at it as long as Jenna and I have...
Right? Cheers.
Thanks. Clink.
All right.
I've seen some impressive things for human combat chess.
Oh, I believe it.
Oh, whoa, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I have not personally been involved in any of these, but things that have happened have included somebody actually getting cut by a halberd right above the eye.
Holy shit.
Yeah, buddy.
Wow. And that's a spot that bleeds.
They finished the fight.
Nice.
And then called for medic, which is our thing. Because they are supposed to finish the fight.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're supposed to win that fight, win the square. And so if they don't, then that fucks
the whole show is done. Yeah.
So they finished the fight, called for medic, went off stage, ended up coming back on later, but boy howdy, was that a thing.
Yeah.
We had another person slipped and landed just wrong and hit the back of their head real hard. And was seriously just dazed.
Yeah.
And didn't, like, it was just kind of a stop. And basically their fight partner, because they were supposed to win, took them flipped them over and made it look like they were pinning their fight partner to the ground. Jeez. Or made it look like they were pinned down to the ground by this person that was dazed. And then called for the ref got in there, called all of that. They were fine, but it was a good solid 2 minutes of what the fuck, and also concussion. Yeah, probably.
Bell got run pretty good there.
We have broken a few weapons. There was one year we broke, I think, 2 or 3 katanas. I don't remember.
Oh wow,
the number. It was longsword versus katana, right?
Yeah.
And it was I think the longsword was just heavy enough, because usually a katana can take it.
Yeah.
But like you start to get too much weight behind that, and then it's just,
you hit it just wrong. Yeah.
Yep. We had a small sword go flying towards the audience.
Yeah.
That was yeah. I'm pretty sure my heart stopped for a good 30 seconds while I watched that happen in slow motion, unable to do fucking anything. But yeah, other than the couple of injuries that I've mentioned, like, yeah, but honestly, Human Combat Chess has been incredibly lucky in the amount of injury that has not occurred for what that show is.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did have one injury that happened right before. So the first year I started Human Combat Chess, I was stepping in for somebody else who was no longer able to do Human Combat Chess, because they got hit by a truck. They were fine. Like, let's be clear. Everything was fine, except that they had some shoulder issues from it.
Sure.
Just but minor thing of getting hit by a truck. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Like, I have to say that up front, because, like, I have to say they got hit by a truck, but I also have to, like, not have you overly concerned that they got hit by a truck. Yeah.
Right.
It was just enough injury to take him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I ended up, I was asked to step in 2 weeks before open to learn a 3-phase small sword fight. And I did. They were like, well, we can cut it down. We can do this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, no, I got this. And I did it. I did it. I had it. It was fine. But the night before open, we were running the scene. We're running the scene. And one of the things that happened during that fight was, my fight partner, did a punch to my face. As a cross to knock me out. And obviously it's that part's illusion. You don't ever actually hit anybody's face, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, he went and he wasn't, he was fine for the years that he had on him, but like he wasn't always consistent in where he was going with things. His spacing was always different each time. And so yeah, he goes to do this cross and he actually hits me like right below the eye.
Oh shit, he really contacted.
Shit.
Now it wasn't nearly as hard as it could be, because it wasn't a graze, but it wasn't a full on punch. It was kind of that kind of a thing, right?
Bit of a glancing blow, yeah.
Yeah. In the choreography, I'm supposed to drop. Like, that is a knockout blow to my head in the choreography.
Right.
So he hits me and I drop, because I'm not even thinking about it. That's just the next thing to do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I drop to the ground and then I look up at him and he just has this horrified
oh, shit, I killed her.
Like, he's like... Oh, oh. And I just started laughing because it's the night before open. It's not like we're going to be able to rehearse this anymore and get any better at it. We're just trying to remember the fucking thing, right? There's no changing anything. There's no going back. This is just what it fucking is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we had been drilling this. I think it's the fight that I've had the least amount of hours into as well. Like, I think we only got about 15 hours of rehearsal time for it. Oh. And I'm just like, well, this is just life. And I start laughing. And this guy looked concerned. And I was like, you better hope you gave me a black eye, because that would look incredible going into the show tomorrow.
I got clipped once. It was a peasant bocce game.
Oh.
James, you know what bocce is, correct?
Yeah.
Peasant bocce was a bocce game where instead of balls, it was peasants. And the royals were hurling peasants down the pitch.
Sure.
And as good peasants who didn't want to be beheaded or anything like that, we were doing everything in our power to not have our side lose.
Yes.
So it became a pseudo, like, you know, combat chess, but bocce. So anyway.
Yeah.
I'm out there in the field, and a peasant, my friend Jeff, gets rolled into me and is supposed to knock me loose. And I'm like, no, this is, I'm here. I'm going to score a point. No, I'm not getting knocked away. And so he starts pushing me, and I'm like, no, I'm not. And so he's, and it becomes a tussle. And it ends with him straddling me, punching me. Okay. Now what he's doing is he's straddling me, and he's punching next to my head. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
As you do.
Exactly. Yeah. But on one hit, he bent his elbow too much, and his elbow took me right in the jaw.
Oh.
And I went, okay, you win. Like, that was, I just went, okay, yep, I'm out, you win, I'm out. Because he fucking nailed me.
Shit.
And in real life, he's a kung fu instructor, so when he clipped me with his elbow, he fucking clipped me with his elbow.
Dang.
Oh, God.
And, like, he was, you know, self-aware enough to know that I was okay, and that it was okay. So, don't break character, you know? So he just, like, ha-ha, and he shoves me aside, and I'm like, you know, a ragdolling. But, man, he nailed me hard.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if anything went wrong during any of James's shows, but everything he does is already gone wrong.
Aww.
Well, very particularly.
Oh, no, are we time traveling again?
No. A little bit. I'll wait to see if it resolves.
Yep, there we go.
I think that's
seems
it.
A little better. Okay. Yeah. I've already, I think, talked on this podcast about the infamous "Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?" One that where absolutely everything conceivable went wrong, including the guy that was supposed to make the sugar glass bottles just drilled holes in the bottom of real fucking wine bottles. Because the husband is supposed to knock him against a cabinet and break them. That is very quickly ended with the guy who played George, the husband, having to take a couple of swipes at the cabinet with one particular liquor bottle, like the day before the closing show. And his lines are being delivered off the wrong side of the stage, and the stagehands can tell, and we know that something's wrong. And the moment he comes off stage, he's pouring blood from his upstage side because a chunk of the bottle hit him Jesus in the eye, Christ. Just under his eyebrow, and cut it open.
Oh God!
And so he continued to face. Yeah, and he continued to face away from the audience and deliver his lines off of stage right, so that he would not freak the audience out with this like Bellagio fountain of blood pouring out of his face. Yeah, so then he comes back. We got him, got it dressed up, yeah. and that kind of stuff. And staunch the bleeding and all of that kind of stuff. Jesus, though. So there was that.
Hire a fight choreographer.
Yeah. Hire a prop master.
Hire a prop master is the correct answer. Yeah.
Well, a good fight director is not going to let that prop happen.
Hey, also true. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing was that we did the Scottish play.
You mean Macbeth?
And, yeah. And it was kind of, I mean, I think the most dangerous thing about it was all of the tech stuff that they poured into the production. Like, it was beautiful. The set design was absolutely gorgeous. But what it meant was that you had a bunch of 20-something-year-old dudes who usually wear glasses running around on a black-painted stage next to the slot in the platform that the scrim drops through, carrying swords, real swords, and yeah, so there was a time when I went to run off stage, and there are steps at either side as well. Went to dash off stage carrying a full fucking sword and planted my foot into the scrim rail socket, and there was almost a pile up behind me of people with swords on the fucking stairs.
Oh my God.
But I managed to like pivot and hop and like dislodge my foot. And then somebody who was there in the wings, like grabbed the elbow with the sword and like caught me. And everyone else went around and we both like, we locked eyes and I was like, thank you. All right. Off. Yeah. Well, and then one of the stars of the show got knocked on the head with the scrim when it came down unexpectedly. He was fine. He didn't have a concussion or anything like that, but we were very concerned because it did bleed. Yeah, so just adventure. And a lot of that. Yeah.
See, I didn't have anything happen in high school. I didn't have anything happen during a show that was really major. But there was one rehearsal. So I was in show choir in high school, and my sophomore year, our show choir decided to do a variety show. And so we were the hosts of the variety show. And so we did the open and close for the first half and the open and close for the second half. And everything else in between was members of the community who came in and did funny sketches and whatever they want. Very similar to Die Laughing in many respects, honestly. But there was one sketch that we were doing where we were... it was a Dukes of Hazzard sketch, and we had the shop class built us this fantastic wooden General Lee that we had to carry on stage while we were driving around. So it was kind of a Fred Flintstone car in that respect. So the two of us that were the Duke boys had to like pick up the car and, like, shuffle across the stage carrying this big fucking wooden General Lee. But there was one rehearsal where my back went out of place.
Oh.
So my back is out of place. I can hardly walk. And I've got to carry this General Lee on stage. And then when the sheriff shows up, the Duke boys run off stage. And so we're in rehearsal, and my costume doesn't fit me very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we carry General Lee on stage, my back's not happy, we're doing the sketch, and halfway through the sketch, my back just goes, fuck you, we're done. And I'm, like, I'm doing that thing where I'm acting like everything is okay, but I'm not okay.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of doing that hunched over walk that you do when your back is out. And we get to the end of the sketch and we have to run off stage. And I'm like goblin running off the stage and my pants come off my waist and slide down to my knees.
Oh no.
And I looked like Gollum with pants around his ankles.
Yeah.
Trying to run off the stage, and it was just like, it was awful. And thankfully, like I said, it was just a rehearsal. And so it was just, but yeah, that was one of those moments that's forever burned into my psyche.
Oh, God. Oh, let's see. I don't remember having any issues with high school theater. I think high school theater is the best theater that I've ever done in my life.
Our high school theater was just terrible.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like, we had no theater program. The high school play was however many people sign up for the play, that's however many, that they find a script with that many parts, and that's what
Oh, wow.
I come from a small school, and our school had a theater. It wasn't like a stage at the end of the gym. Our school had a theater. In rural South Dakota, our school was the only school in the 200-mile radius that had one of those. So you'd think we'd have a pretty good theater program, but no. Our theater program sucked. It was literally whoever signs up for the high school play is in the high school play. And it was mostly a chance for the popular people to do something funny for their friends. They'd get up on stage and, ha-ha, look what I'm doing. I'm being goofy and, you know, stuff like that. And the, like, two theater geeks would be try to be serious about it. And and it would just be terrible.
Yeah.
I was so angry because I went back, like, 2 years after I graduated, and they were amazing!
I mean, For my high school, we also had a similar thing where we didn't really have theater for a few years. And my senior year is when we got a new theater teacher. And we had an incredible theater program back in the 70s, and not the 90s. So we actually got to kind of rebuild a bunch of the theater stuff for our theater department. So that was kind of fun. And Steve was a freshman and I was a senior, so I got to do a lot of that with my little brother, which was super cool, sibling bonding. He and I, quote unquote, co-starred in a show. That was great. I was going to say something. I don't remember. Fuck. Ah, God damn it. I lost it.
Anyway, we had no theater program whatsoever. We had the Missoula Children's Theater would come by once a year. And, like, that was the big theater. And that was great. Like, that was a really good show. But then the high school show would come by and it would be just a chance for the popular kids to mug and pad their college resumes, you know.
Sure.
And then after I graduated... Then I don't know if they got a new theater teacher or if just the new younger crop came up and were like, no, we're actually going to do serious shit here. But they really turned it around, and I was so bitter about that.
I'm sure Steve remembers mishaps that happened during that year at Johnson. Because number one, he did a lot more stage management stuff overall.
Oh, yeah.
And stage managers always know what fucked up. But also, like, he just has a better memory for things like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I'm sure that we did fuck up a lot. I just don't remember anything. Because everything I did was incredible. So.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jess's high school. My daughter is a spoiled little thing. They got to do several shows a year, and they're, like, they had some shows, some of their bigger musicals, like Ragtime, had like 50 fucking people involved, 50, 70, something like that. Like, they had extras on top of extras. Yeah. When they went to do, they did a steampunk Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
Which was very clever.
Very cool.
They hired an actual fight director to come in and work with them on their fight stuff. Some guy named Lubke, I guess.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, anyway.
Is that something in Klingon?
No, I think he did some kind of people checkers combat thing.
Fighting checkers, I've heard of that.
Fighting checkers.
Good old stabby checkers.
I think he's like the regional fight director for like the 5-state area or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Stabby checkers.
I missed it.
Stabby checkers was Chubby Checkers' less socially adjusted younger brother.
Oh no.
But yeah, Jessa had like all of these great theater things happening at her school, but she would still get frustrated with those kids that were just there to goof off or whatever. And she's like, I can't wait to get in a professional theater. And I'm like, lady, have I got news for you?
Yep.
There's this kind of scrolliness stuff happens all the time. You don't outgrow that. It's all just part of how theater do. And so, anyway.
Yeah.
I know I'm about to start bragging about my daughter, and if I start doing that, then we're never going to stop recording this podcast. So
we should probably take a break then.
Okay.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
My daughter is awesome.
God damn it. We didn't go fast enough. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five. Also, I'm confused. What? That's not where you
it
did.
It was sound effects. It was morning radio sound effects.
He's chosen.
That's a preemptive ding.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah, no, you know, they're like, it's time
it's
for
okay.
The...
You're going to get extra, an extra ding.
See, there we go.
The studio audience liked it, okay?
Yeah.
No, that I can handle. But the dings are very specifically for the questions.
You try to do...
I liked it.
You try to spice up a relationship a little bit. This is what you get.
It's just confusing. That's not where that goes, Salsa.
Today's
Fast
Five.
Then you just end up with birdhouses wearing studded leather.
So, like a punk Baba Yaga?
Yes.
enjoy how you two interact.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Cole.
Yay, Cole!
Cole opens this up by saying, hello, hello! So nice.
Hello.
They said it twice.
Hello, hello.
Fast Fives for you. No theme here. Just five random-ass questions. Although it,
right. Ooh, ass questions.
Yes, there was no dash between random and ass, so it wasn't random ass questions, it was random ass questions.
Just random ass questions.
Yes.
Nice.
Maybe. We don't know yet.
Punctuation is important. Question number one.
Dantic.
Like or dislike?
I like an awful lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also very particular. So, like, if I dislike something, I really dislike it. I'm going to go like.
There was a time.
I like random asses.
There's that.
These are random ass questions.
I do
so
like random asses. It's true.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
That's accurate for me as well. I'm going to say dislike because there was a time when Facebook had only the like button. And it was forever and a half ago. And then they added a bunch of stuff, but they still have not added a dislike button.
I don't need a dislike button, but I do need a what the fuck button. Mm-hmm.
So, James, I'm sorry. In what context do you think this question is?
I'm thinking that it's something having to do with Facebook Reacts.
Okay, but, like, word a question in which that makes sense.
Because,
like, what button do you want Facebook to add makes no sense. Because, like, it's already there.
Do you prefer when Facebook only had the one like react button? Prefer having the multiple reacts?
Sure.
Which is dislike?
We'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah. Or if you had to, what I was thinking is if Facebook were to change its reacts to have either just the like button again or. If they were to add a new react that was the dislike, which would you prefer? And I think I want the dislike.
Okay. It seems a bit convoluted to me, but we'll go with it.
Wait, whoa,
who has
whoa,
ever done that
whoa,
on this podcast?
Whoa, sorry.
And during a Fast Five, no less.
I'm going to go with like.
That's weird. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Can you give us a context or a question
absolutely.
That you think would be...
Lichens are way more cool than dislichens.
Wow.
But dislichens are... dislichens are
lichens
just werewolves
dis.
That have a lot of shade to throw.
No, they're from dis.
No, but they're lycanthropes.
No, James, it's my fucking context.
I understand, but you can still be wrong.
Going with like.
Okay.
Question number two. B&B or
okay.
Or continental.
Bed and breakfast or continental breakfast? Would you rather stay at a place at a bed and breakfast or at a hotel that had a continental breakfast?
Or like, which is your preference? Do you want like someone to wake you at a specific time and deliver hot food? Or would you rather during a 3-hour block starting at 6 in the morning, go and get a bagel with some 5-year-old cream cheese in a little pot.
Bagel.
Bagel.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Bagel.
Bagel.
Yes.
Going with D&B.
I'm going to go with Continental because sometimes you get to make your own waffles.
I never want anybody to wake me up in the morning for any reason ever.
I've never been to a B&B where they wake you up at a certain time unless you request it.
I just thought
that was a thing that they did to let you know that breakfast was served or to bring you breakfast.
No, I've stayed in B&Bs all over the place, and it's you wake up when you like. I'll they have a window of like an hour and a half of like breakfast is served between these hours, but that's still up to you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to a bed and breakfast. Now that I'm thinking about it, I should do that at some point.
Is breakfast in bed the nicest thing that you can do for your partner?
Nope.
It's awful.
Because you're waking them up.
It's terrible.
Don't ever wake me up with... You can... What? Here's... Don't wake me up. However, here's what you are allowed to do. You are allowed to bring in coffee and set it next to me on my nightstand. And if I don't wake up within a half an hour, you are allowed to refill that coffee and leave it next to me on the nightstand.
Okay.
This is acceptable.
That's it.
This is completely acceptable.
Until eventually.
Don't wake me up. I don't care how cute your surprise is. Do not wake me up.
Here's the thing.
I am not a morning person. I had a conversation with Jacques about morning stuff, and I was like, that is the one thing I am not going to do in this campground, Jacques. I will not morning. Do you know why? Because you are cranky all the time. I am cranky the first 2 hours of the day. If we are both cranky together, one of us will die. I'm not sure which one. Possibly you. So let's not do that. And he was like, oh okay.
A lot of places a body can be buried. No one would ever find it.
There is a room in the house that has like a table and silverware and plates and flat surfaces to place food and floors that can be cleaned.
Like a dining room?
And it's not the bedroom. It's not the bed. Don't put food in the bedroom. Because there's...
That's what those little tray tables are for.
Yeah, okay, and then you put it on your lap. Okay, and now you have to balance a tray on your lap and hope you don't...
No, you don't have to balance a fucking tray on your lap. That's what the little legs are for.
It's fucking terrible. It's the worst.
That's what the little legs on the lap tray...
My bed is not for eating in. I don't want to get fucking crumbs of toast in my bed. Fuck that. If I want to eat, I will go to the room that is designed for that. Breakfast in bed is the worst.
I'm pretty much with Salsa on this one, James. I don't like crumbs in my bed. I do not like it. It is not okay.
I don't like it either. But
do you know how you can prevent crumbs from being in your bed, James?
Don't drop crumbs in your fucking bed.
Yeah, because the food isn't in the room in the first place. No dropped crumbs.
Right.
I don't know why you're eating your toast like fucking Cookie Monster, Salsa, but...
How do you eat your toast, James?
Not like fucking Cookie Monster.
Then you're
unless
not
it's funny.
Living.
If it's funny, then I do
living.
That.
I'm sorry if your life is so boring that you eat toast slowly and carefully.
I mean, I really don't know how you eat toast without getting crumbs all over the place. Because, like, I'm picturing it in my head, and I'm like, you got crunch, and now there's crumbs.
Yeah.
And you can try to do it over the plate, but now you've got crumbs on your face, and those are going to drop off eventually. Or you've got crumbs that landed on your shirt somehow, and those are going to drop... No, how do you eat toast and not get crumbs all over the place?
And then here...
Do you use a lint roller? And then, like, and then, in between bites?
And then here's a cinnamon roll. That's really great in bed. Let's get frosting and sticky stuff
that's
all over your fingers.
No, that's just the snake.
And then...
It's just...
No, what? Oh God.
It's not a cinnamon roll. It's just a little snake. And it's very cute.
What?
Huh?
I think James just had a stroke.
It's the weirdest callback ever. Mm-hmm. Have I started developing an ability to keep up with you, James? Because I don't know that I'm comfortable with this.
I don't
think this is a skill that I was trying to cultivate.
Question number three. Breakfast or dessert?
Breakfast. Breakfast.
This one is where context matters the fuck over the place. Because I will eat breakfast food any goddamn time of the day. I will not eat dessert first thing in the morning.
I mean, some people can.
Nope, not me.
I'm going to guess is a pastry a breakfast item or a dessert item?
Oh, shit.
Both.
Well, okay. Are we talking about like a... Is a croissant a pastry? I think it is.
I think it depends on the pastry.
And that's a mealtime thing. Yeah.
No, I would not call patisserie. So like. Like panna cotta chocolat.
I was gonna say crepes.
Crepes. I was thinking.
Wait.
Crepes are for fucking breakfast.
I was thinking like panna chocolat or something like that.
With.
Get out of here with your fancy words.
Right. With the crepes booth at Fest, that is our new hangover cure. Ever since the CKC took over the Scotch Eggs booth and they forgot what the fuck a Dane special was,
yeah,
or wanted to charge us $10 for it.
Fuck that.
No.
Dane
special, I'm going to go to the crepes
food
booth.
Book. One food book for a Dane special. That's what it is. I'm going to go with breakfast.
If I'm eating a crepe,
yeah,
again, that's pretty much an anytime thing. I'm just going to say I generally prefer breakfast foods, so I'm going to go with breakfast.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Question number four.
Oh, but if it's mini pancakes, that's dessert.
Cylon or Borg?
Okay. Which
I haven't done a lot with Battlestar Galactica yet. That should be on my list of things to watch.
I think it might be a question about toasters.
So I think
like
I'm ignoring James because James. So Cylons look like us. So it's hard to know who they are. They infiltrate.
Not the original ones.
Not the original ones. But the more recent, the reboot.
Yeah.
They look like us, so they infiltrate us.
No, reboot was a 1990s CG cartoon.
and so they look like us, so they infiltrate us. Whereas the Borg assimilate you and like have the hive mind. So which one is scarier? Like that they can infiltrate you and you don't know who they are, or the fact that they can just assimilate and
I would say the Cylons are probably scarier.
I'm leaning towards Cylons myself on that one.
Yeah. But the Cylons still have personality, where personality destroys the Borg.
And that personality is destroy all humans.
But have you met humans?
Yes, I have. That's why I like the Cylons.
And aren't they awful?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Present company included, James.
I figured. Yeah.
You're okay. Fuck you.
I mean, with the Borg, I remember the episode with Hugh.
Yeah.
And they taught him a bunch of stuff and then reintroduced him to the Borg, and there was some chaos involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think overall just the attack style, I would rather somebody came at me than infiltrated or did like manipulative, like subtle infiltration shit. Just come at me. Come at me, bro.
James?
I'm going to say that a toaster that looks like a Borg cube would be a lot more practical than a toaster that looks like a Cylon helmet.
Okay. Question number five.
Right.
Audio or visual? I'm going to go visual. I'm better at learning things if I can see it than to have it described to me.
I'm a doer. I have to do it to understand it.
Me too, but I think I still consider that more of a visual thing.
I listen to a lot more podcasts during the day than I watch YouTube videos or anything like that. And I also listen to a ton of music while I'm working. If I try to watch something, I'll get distracted.
Same. But like, I also, like, if I try to listen to a story, I'll get distracted. I can only really listen to songs that I know like 1,000 times over, or instrumentals.
Yeah.
That's the only stuff I can do while I'm working. If it has any kind of story or if I don't know what's already happening, that's just not, nope, that's not conducive.
All right.
It distracts
Fair enough.
Me.
Cool. Excuse me. All right. This email wraps up by saying context to follow. And we open up the second email. And the second email says, good day, Apropostors. I hope you are all doing well. Context time.
Woo.
Question number question number one, like or dislike? Do you enjoy when songs have puns in them, or do they annoy you, Jenna?
Serious answer. It depends. Like, the actual answer is that it depends on how well the pun is placed in there, what is the context surrounding the pun, and did James come up with it? That's important context to know surrounding that pun. I think some of it just depends on my mood, too. But I think if you're able to work out the meter and the placement for a pun in music and it's well done, then that's actually pretty fucking good. So yeah, there's my answer. Maybe.
I'm going to switch my answer to they annoy me, Jenna.
Okay. That's fair.
So dislike?
Puns.
James?
I think I was correct on the dislike.
Okay. Question number two, B&B or Continental. Which breakfast experience do you enjoy more? A set meal at a bed and breakfast or a good Continental spread with lots of options?
I think I need to have the options because a set meal may or may not have things that I can eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, in general, hate Continental breakfasts because they're usually have been sitting there for 2 hours and are stale and kind of gross. And it's you know, lukewarm eggs and things like that. Whereas B&B, yes, the menu is kind of set, but it's cooked and made to order. Usually, and it's generally good, and I'll eat anything. So there's that.
Huh.
Right. Like, you don't have to worry about things subtly trying to kill you.
Exactly. You know, nothing's gonna unless there's fresh fruit, which I can avoid easily. But like the B&Bs that we stayed in Ireland, for example, we had breakfasts that I never would have had. At a Continental breakfast, and they were phenomenal. So,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, James.
I think that I'm going to go with Continental, because if you're hungry, you can go back and get seconds. You can load up on bagels and things like that and bring them back to the room where people can...
I believe you mean bagels.
Sorry. Bagels.
Bagels.
Yes, those. I can bring them back to the room for people to eat in bed and get crumbs everywhere.
Ah! God damn it. You're an agent of evil.
All right. Question number 3. Breakfast or dessert? Ha ha! Cinnamon rolls. Are they breakfast or dessert?
Oh, how did we not think of cinnamon rolls?
Well, I did think...
Waffles are
the thing is I did think of cinnamon rolls, but it was so obviously a breakfast food that it didn't cross my mind. Cinnamon rolls are breakfast food. They're not a dessert food.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much with you on that. I do think of them more as a breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
They are a breakfast food that you could have for dessert. Mm-hmm.
That one just seems so obvious.
But they are a breakfast.
But I guess at the same time, like if you go to like Domino's Pizza, they've got like the cinnamon twists, which are basically cinnamon rolls in a different shape for dessert.
I mean, you go to Cinnabon for
those are very different from a cinnamon roll.
Yeah. No, I think I'm gonna go breakfast on this one.
I'm sticking with breakfast.
Not to be confused with a synonym roll. Question.
Another word. A different word going on. A similarity game.
Yes, that one.
Okay. Thank you.
Question number 4. Cylon or Borg? Which would you rather find out you secretly are?
Whoa.
I gotta be a Cylon. I wanna be a Cylon.
Cylon? Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't wanna.
If I found out I was
either of these.
Borg? Like, how do I have a personality? Say that one.
Yeah, your personality would be the Borg personality. No, I don't know. No, I wanna be Cylon.
Ooh.
Maybe I am a Cylon. Maybe that's why I hate people so much.
When that's possible.
Everything makes sense. I'm going to say Borg because I enjoy the writing of Star Trek more than I enjoyed the writing of Battlestar.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number 5, audio or visual? Nailed it. Which is your preferred background noise? TV show/movies or music, podcast, audiobooks?
Just the music.
Yeah.
And sometimes this podcast, because I already know what's going to be said.
I do both at the same time.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No, I know. I have definitely, in order to get something done that does not use my language center, I have definitely had music and a TV on. But if I'm doing something that involves like reading tickets, I have to not have words. And the video will distract me a little bit, but if I'm doing something with my eyes, that's easier to focus on than if I'm... Yeah, there's...
Every day...
Layers and layers of distraction.
Every single day, I walk down to my office, I turn on my computer and log into my computer.
Yeah.
Then I turn on the TV on the wall. I mute it, but the TV is on. And then I load up a podcast in my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the TV on and the podcast in my ears while I'm working.
I couldn't do it, but I definitely understand
it's the only way I can focus.
Maybe that's what I've been doing wrong.
You're doing so many things.
I'll give it a shot.
Meanwhile, I just work in relative silence unless I sometimes put music
that
on.
That sounds like hell to me.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that sounds fucking awful.
It's absolute glory.
No, it's part of the ADHD is needing that other half of the brain having I'm something to be focused on. Otherwise, the other half of the brain is going, I'm bored. I'm going to pick on the half that's trying to do work.
Yeah.
No, I understand, like, in a theoretical sense about that, but, like, no, I can't focus on things when James is, like, doing weird things visually in the background. Like,
that
I
is always.
I know. That's what makes it so hard.
I'm squirmy as fuck.
No.
Yeah, every day that I'm on the clock, it's bring your child to work day is the problem. Yeah, there is just like 5-year-old me is like, oh yeah, but what about this thing? Yeah, I wonder if it's okay, to have robots in space because they don't have to breathe. But then like, what if they do learn to breathe and then like, just fucking 5-year-old me is, and meanwhile. Almost 40-year-old me is like, I have tickets that I have to go through. 5-year-old me doesn't care.
Yeah.
So I have to turn on some music. I have to put Barney on the TV.
No, basically what I have to do
have
to overwhelm my ADHD brain with stimulus so it doesn't notice that the like actual functioning part of my brain has snuck out the back door to do some real work.
Yeah. Well, the way that I used to go to bed would be to have the television on, and I would watch through all of Adult Swim, and then wait for it to loop back around. So I was watching for a second time all of the shows that I'd watched that evening, and the whole time I'm also chatting on IRC and. Reading websites and watching short videos and things like that. Like that was, especially in college, that was the fucking way for me. That was the way that I could fall asleep. And I would occasionally put music on in earphones while the TV was on. And then I would be able to fall asleep. But
yep.
I don't know. At some point that broke. I had a roommate that had a Thunder Machine on, the Simpsons movie playing on a loop. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on another TV. And then the stereo was also playing music in order to sleep. And
Jenna's going to have an aneurysm over this.
I fucking could not stay there.
No.
I could not live in that apartment.
Yeah, I not all of that at once is not a thing. But I do I have bedtime noises, waves crashing against a shore.
Yeah.
But that is more to psychologically tell my brain it's bedtime. It's more of a
have a routine
kind of thing than it is having noise in the background.
Yeah. No, I still use stuff.
Routine is little birdies. Yeah.
Oh,
they start singing before my alarms go off to try to help me to wake up, and sometimes that helps.
I still fall asleep to Mystery Science Theater. I love it.
I can't fall asleep to a story because I have to focus on the story.
I'm with Jenna. I can't asleep if I'm invested in what's going on the TV.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to watch anything that I'm not invested in, and if I am invested in it, I can't sleep. So
there's just something really, really soothing about it for me. So that's what I do. But yeah, I get that.
Okay. So I'm going with visual.
I'm going to go with, audio.
I'm going to go with limited audio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very narrowly defined audio.
Cole wraps us up by saying, hope you enjoyed the Fast Five. Looking forward to actually being able to watch Die Laughing this year. Woo! Also, James, you need to post more pictures of your danger noodle. That's going to get us an X rating. I have a strict no sneaks policy, with the exception of your adorable little linguine, because he is
linguine
adorable.
Fucking cute.
Yeah, he is best noodle.
That is all Staywell friends, Cole.
Aw.
Yay!
I will send some photos for Salsa to include with the notes.
Okay. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. You know how this works. Who has a shout-out?
I want to give a shout-out to the glorious weather we had today. Oh, goddamn. Feels like summer, and I love it.
I'm going to give my shout-out to the glorious weather we're having tomorrow. It's supposed to be in the 40s. It's going to be amazing.
I know. No.
High of 40.
I will still have my windows open.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So sad.
I would like to give a shout out to someone who has been with Fearless Comedy for a very long time and is fucking amazing to work with. Jim Lewis has been faithfully testing out every single aspect of the Die Laughing website's register page to make sure that people are able to donate, that they are able to pay for challenges, and that the experience is a good one and makes any fucking sense, and that all of that happens to plan. And I just appreciate him taking so much time, so much of his own time, in order to, and money, because in many cases you have to donate to find out if the thing is working, and he just does. He's just a real solid guy to work with for that. And I spent an hour and a half with him today hammering out the last few little dents in the payment system. We've got a few features that we want to add to it, but it is working, which is outstanding. We're extremely pleased. So there's that. Thank you to Jim Lewis.
Nice. I also appreciate Jim's work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, me too.
I like it when things work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody got something to plug?
Does anybody have anything to plug outside of Die Laughing?
Oh, I was going to say. That.
Nope.
Anybody? Nope. No?
Not at the moment.
Hey, everybody. Guess what's coming up?
What's coming up?
Salsa's never heard of it. It's called Die Laughing.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's in Klingon, right?
I didn't hear what you said, Jens.
I said it's in Klingon, right?
Oh my god. We did one year actually have a Klingon portion of the show. Like somebody did a show that was Klingon related.
Wow.
So, not this year. Take that, James, smart ass. All right. Anyway, Die Laughing this year is happening on the weekend of April 9th through the 11th. We are starting at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on the 9th. And we will have three separate chunks of stream. We should probably put that on the website. But there will be three separate chunks of stream. You can see everything that is going to be playing and when under the schedule, which is on the website. So please take a few moments to peruse our schedule and see what will be playing and when, so that you can map out your weekend accordingly. Mm-hmm. We will have a few challenges. We will have a silent auction. We will have merch. And we will have videos of all of the past Die Laughing stuff that we were able to grab video of. So all of that will be available for you. It is an online extravaganza. And boy howdy, my team has been working so incredibly hard on getting all of this put together. We've had to rebuild new processes. We've had to revisit old processes.
We're making this shit up as we go, yo.
Yeah, we put a lot of work into process and functionality for this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even as we go. There's been a lot of prep thought that has gone into this to get things going. But also, like, some of us are just fucking tired. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this whole pandemic thing going on, and pandemic isolation depression stuff is a thing. And people have just kept pushing through, and it is so, I'm absolutely honored that people are working on this and getting this thing off the ground. So, that's in a week and a half, you guys. Week and a half to die laughing. And then I'm going to take it a couple days and not do a goddamn motherfucking thing. It'll be glorious.
A solid plan.
Die Laughing, April 9th through 11th. You can find all of the information at dielaughingmarathon.com. Dielaughingmarathon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. That's what I had to plug.
I have something to plug. It's something called dielaughingmarathon.com.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Oh, never heard of it.
No, I just to reiterate everything that Jenna said, dielaughingmarathon.com. I cannot stress how important this is to us. Dielaughingmarathon.com. I'm going to say it one more time, dielaughingmarathon.com.
.com. Yay. Yeah. Did I mention Die Laughing yet, you guys?
No, you probably should, just in case.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Die Laughing is happening April 9th through 11th this year.
In the comfort of your own homes.
Yeah, you don't even have to go anywhere. It's great. Mm-hmm. You just go to dielaughingmarathon.com.
Mm-hmm.
James, anything for you?
Yeah, I was going to suggest that if you go to Google, they have a translation service. You can load a favorite website and translate it into any language that you would like. I would like to suggest that you go to dielaughingmarathon.com and try it out in other languages, like Klingon.
All right.
For example, just as an example.
You did make Dielaughing have some Klingon. Good job. I'm impressed. And confused, but impressed.
That's how we roll.
That's how you roll.
cinnamon roll.
Do we have any last thoughts?
Similar.
Yeah, I did want to say bye, bye, I love you, bye, 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 bye.
All right, and with that, we would like to say thank you so very, very much, everybody, for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Cole for sending in that Fast Five. It was very interesting. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, go to dielaughingmarathon.com and eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.